former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. I'm filling in for Stormy, who is enjoying some much-needed rest and relaxation. Michael, how are we doing here on this Thursday morning, or morning on the West Coast, afternoon for you guys out east?
Well, Stormy's cruising the Alaskan seas, I think. She's having a good old time, so good for her. She deserves it, but I'm good. You know, the NBA started at 8 o'clock last night, got to watch the Knicks game, you know, got to hear a lot of complaining afterwards. What side were you on? I was on the wrong side of that one, Femi. I really thought that they would be able to reduce the numbers in the game, right? The Knicks' three-point shooting percentage, their two-point shooting percentage, and find a way to win, and I thought Halliburton would play better. Well, as Meatloaf said, two out of three ain't bad, but they ain't going to make you any money. And, you know, I mean, the Pacers are sitting there after the game. They shoot 51% from the floor. They shoot 44 from threes, and they lose by nine.
Incredible.
Did you think it was like an NBA All-Star game out there last night? I mean, it looked like nobody – was anybody playing defense?
Welcome to Indiana Pacers basketball. That's how they play. They're up and down. They want to let you score so they can get the ball back quicker. And that's how they play basketball. And it's worked for them up until this point, but now they find themselves in this 0-2 hole. And, I mean, the Knicks were losing guys left and right. I mean, Brunson left the game for a little bit. He ended up coming back in the second half. OG Anunoby, who – it was the OG Anunoby game until he got hurt, and now he has his hamstring injury, which is not looking too good as we turn our attention to game three. But now for the New York Knicks, I don't think they're going to lose at MSG. There's just something about that building and how they feed off of the crowd, despite having limited bodies, despite being exhausted. Josh Hart did another 48-minute performance last night, and he was terrific in the game. They just feed off of that crowd to where it's such an elite home court advantage. You're going to have to put together one heck of an effort to beat them in the Garden.
Well, you're going to have to play some defense, Femi. I mean, that also would be a nice start. I mean, you know, that would be pretty good, right? And look, you know, they're getting open threes. DiVincenzo's shooting above his league average for threes. I mean, it's been rather, you know, you're going to have a little bit of resistance to the game, and you're going to have to dig down the physicality. I get that. And, you know, complaining about the calls. I mean, Carlisle sent 78 instances to the league office of incorrect calls or non-calls. Like, that, you just wasted 3 hours of somebody's time, right? Because you got to clip those things out, send it to the league, and they're going to either say, oh, we're sorry, or they're going to say you're right. Like, what do you get out of it? Well, what are you getting out of it?
Maybe he thinks that he can influence how game three will be officiated Friday night. Maybe that's the thought process behind putting these clips together. I mean,
where do they bring in our man Scott? Where do they bring him in, you know?
The extender will come out.
The extender. Where do they bring his ass in there? Yeah, he'll be calling stuff we never see before.
Although he might be in Minnesota.
Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, the extender is going to be in Minnesota or in Indianapolis. One of the two.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and we got Harry's talking about, you know, they want the Knicks to win. Carlisle then, he must have stole this from Harry. Harry, you know, from yesterday's show, Harry was talking about, oh, this is a conspiracy theory. They want the big markets in the game. You know, and Carlisle's echoing the same line. I mean, he's plagiarizing Harry from our show.
Well, if it's been a conspiracy theory for the New York Knicks, it's been a really bad one since they haven't done anything worth a damn in about 40 years. So I don't know what's going on with the conspiracy there. But I do want to get to that Carlisle soundbite, but let's go ahead and set the table for what we have coming up on the show for the next couple of hours. Joining us in less than 15 minutes, you see here all across the DraftKings Network and on Golic and Gojo weekdays at 8 to 10 Eastern time. The one and only Claudia Bellafato will be joining us here, host and betting analyst for us at DraftKings. We'll talk some Boston Celtics. They've been cruising. Do they cruise once again in game two against the Cleveland Cavaliers? And how about our Boston Bruins went ahead and they took home ice. They took it on the chin a little bit yesterday, but they took home ice going back to Boston for game four against the Florida Panthers. Then In 30 minutes from now, Mike Somich, host of The Handle, will join us. So Somich always has some plays on the hardwood, on the ice. And we'll ask Somich, is Mystic Dan going to run in the Preakness in a couple of weeks here? That's been the talk of the world in the horse world here, so about Mystic Dan. We'll go ahead and get that skinny from Mike Somich in about a half hour. Then in hour number two, our guy Mike Palm, the VP of operations here with the Circa Resort and Casino, also co-host of mine for Live Bet Saturdays. He will join us for Palm's Pressing 3 in hour number two. But let's talk about Rick Carlisle and what he had to say after the game, because that's what a lot of Pacer fans were talking about. The officiating, once again, there was a problem with the moving screen in game one. In game two, they go ahead and take away the false double dribble call on Isaiah Hartenstein. Well, here's what Rick Carlisle had to say after the game, after their game two loss, 131-21 to the New York Knicks.
You know, you I'm always talking to our guys about not making it about the officials. But, you know, we deserve a fair shot, you know, and it just, there's not a consistent balance, and that's disappointing. You know, small market teams deserve an equal shot. They deserve a fair shot. No matter where they're playing.
This guy's making it sound like they're a 16 seed going against the 1 seed. Small market teams, Michael, they need a fair shot in that.
I mean, they're
against
not the
big
Paul.
Coastal elites in New York.
I mean, they make it sound like they're DePaul or something. Like, okay, you know, seriously. Look, I mean, let me ask you this question. Like, you've watched NBA your whole life. When has the game ever been officiated correctly?
Never.
Like, when have you ever sat there and said, man, they really got it? You know, they put in review systems. They can't even get that right, you know? And so I just think, to me, if you're telling your team to disregard the officials, then why are you talking about it? You got to play through it. You're just going to have to play through it. Do I disagree with them? No, not at all. It seems like they're, but I mean, Tyrese Maxey went down the lane a zillion times. He couldn't get a call. Mm-hmm. He couldn't, got the crap beat out. I'm sure he's still bruised today, you know, but he couldn't get a call. It's just the way it is. I don't think, and I'm a conspiracy guy. Look, there's no way Lee was on the sixth floor. I'm all on that, right? But I just think it's how they call the game. It's what they let play. You know, it's what they kind of go in that with that meeting that they have before the game. Okay, we can't let them get away with this. They scout too. They know what team's better than the other.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then I think that's, if you're the Pacers, you're kind of having to scout the officiating crew as well, of saying, hey, they're going to let it be a little bit more physical, or it might be a little bit slanted, but that's part of home court advantage in the postseason. That's why the regular season matters, and you have to get home court advantage, because more often than not, I mean, human nature kicks in, and the officials are more likely to side with what's going on with the home crowd and the home team. But after the game, the players had a different tune than what Rick Carlisle said at the podium. So Tyrese Haliburton said this, quote, they outplayed us, so let's not pretend like the refs are the reason we lost. T.J. McConnell said, quote, we're not going to sit here and blame officials. We've got to be better. It's just that simple. They smashed us on the boards again tonight, plus just got brought more energy than we did. So it sounds like the players, like whatever message he's saying internally, it's like, don't worry about the officials. That at least has resonated. And maybe this is, like I said, Carlisle trying to kind of set the groundwork for a game three, getting maybe a more friendly whistle at home in Indiana.
I don't know if that ever works, right? I mean, Al Davis spent his career trying to get a friendly whistle, you know, and look what it got him. The tuck game, look what it got him. It got him the immaculate reception. That's really worked out well. So, I mean, but I think Halliburton's right. I mean, the two players for the Knicks, Hartenstein and Hart, had 27 total rebounds in the game. Indianapolis only had 32 for a team. They got beat up on the boards. And look, the refs had not, there was only a five free throw differential.
Yep.
Indianapolis had 17 free throws. The Knicks had 22. So I get it, right? Maybe you're not getting the calls and you would have had more, but you know, the Pacers allowed 30 or more points in three of the quarters. And then they went, you know, they went in at halftime, and I think they got caught up with a lot of teams do. When a star player gets hurt, you have a tendency to want to let down. Oh, the guy's hurt. We got this game. Barkley at halftime yesterday was talking about it's a must-win for the Pacers if Brunson's out, right? Yeah. It's a must-win. Well, it was, but he wasn't out. So you got to raise your level. Like, if you're going to beat the Knicks, like the first 5 minutes of the second half, I thought to myself, the Pacers ain't winning this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they lost it in that. I mean, they were outscored in the third quarter 36-18. That's how dominant the New York Knicks were. When Brunson came back, the crowd got back into things. And Brunson, I mean, what more can we say about what he's been doing this postseason? 29 points. He was plus 26 in the box score. I mean, 11 of 18 after missing much of the second quarter. This guy, he's quickly climbing the rankings for popular New York Knicks of all time, because the crowd, when they just feed off of his energy, he feeds off of theirs, and that's what gets this whole thing rolling like a snowball, it feels like. And he's just been terrific, and I'm on record saying that I don't think they're going to lose a home game this postseason. Maybe they get beat in this series and something happens, or if they get beat and they play the Boston Celtics because they won't have home court advantage in that series. But in that building, the way that they've been playing and the way Brunson's playing, as long as they can at least stay a little bit healthier than what they've been staying, I think the Knicks have a really good chance to at least win their home games and protect home floor.
You know, last night, I don't think they have it at the Garden, but I know at the Wells Fargo here in Philly, I think you get a free chicken filet sandwich when a guy misses two free throws, right? Mm-hmm. I think they have some kind of, whether it's a Wendy's Frosty you get or whatever the hell it is, you know, you get something free if a guy misses two in a row. I mean, the Pacers had two guys miss two in a row. Jackson missed two in a row, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think Miles Turner missed two in a row. Like, they missed seven free throws. They were 10 for 17 from the three-throw line. They score those. If it's just say that, you know, now the game's within five. And now they score. May say they go 15. The Knicks were 81% from the line.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so much to think. I laughed. When Alex Burke went in there for the first 1 minute and he dribbled for about 20 seconds and then launched a three, that was the last time we'll see him. We'll never see him again. He's in witness protection. Thibodeau's going to say, like, you ain't doing that crap.
Alex Burke's on the lam for the New York Knicks. Guys, he took the last shot of the quarter in the second quarter. It's like, oh, buddy, where are we going with this?
And then we never saw him again.
Never to be seen.
Yeah.
All right.
He could have gone to some restaurant for dinner after that.
Vescovia. Claudia Bellafato joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Well, when you log into the new VSiN.com app, one of the things that you'll see is an article from our very own Michael Lombardi on Seattle's sunny forecast. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. It's not sunny often, but Michael thinks the Seahawks might be flying a little under the radar with first-year head coach Mike McDonald. Make sure you check that out. We'll discuss it a little bit later on in the show today, but check out the article on VSiN.com as well as all the other gadgets and gizmos, betting splits, best bets, articles, you name it. It's on there, VSiN.com. Check it out today. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. And joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, our DraftKings Network teammate. You see her weekdays, 8 to 10 Eastern time on the Gojo and Go Look Show, the one and only Claudia Bellafato. Claudia, thanks for hanging out with us here this afternoon. How you doing? How are things going? We want to ask you about your Boston teams. Tonight's game, Celtics hosting the Cavaliers, game two. The C's, big favorites, 13.5, total 212. How you looking to bet this game?
Not laying that number. I don't like to chase those lines. What I like to do with these big spreads, just in fear of the backdoor cover, sometimes look to the first half, don't really want to lay 8.5 either. So I look to the team total, which is also pushed up, of course, to 113 in the hook. But guys, they put up 120, and Tatum shot awful, just 18 points. And I think what we're seeing from the Derek Whites and the Peyton Pritchards and the bench and Brown even, we're going to continue to see that. And I know that sounds strange. Well, the Cavs defense is going to show up again, right? Like they did all season. They looked confused. They looked gassed at this point. The reason they went through the Magic is because the Magic can't shoot. That's just not the case here. And I think the depth is huge. Them not having Jarrett Allen is huge. That takes away the boards. 14 rebounds, guys. He was averaging in those four games. He was healthy. 17 points a game. So for a bet on the game itself, I'd go Celtics team total. If you guys are looking for prop, Evan Mobley, he's stepped up big with Allen out. Allen wasn't at shoot around. Doesn't look like he'll be playing. 10.5 rebounds, I think, is a very safe number. He's averaging around 11 without him there. I looked at combo maybe for him, points plus rebounds. He's going to have to step up if they can somehow cover this 13.5, but I would stay away from that spread, guys.
And so they lose today, Claudia. They lose Charles Lee, their lead assistant, number one guy, to the Charlotte Hornets, and he walks into really literally a hornet's nest down there with new ownership and a team kind of out of sorts. How do you think that will affect the Celtics moving forward?
I don't know if it will much. We sort of talked about it today. The way that the team is built right now, I call it sort of monotone, which that's not meant to be a bad thing, but they just sort of have their sights set. They know their roles. They know how good they can be, and they just sort of stay at that level. So I don't see too many things that happen, whether it's inside or out, affecting their mindset too much. When it comes to this situation, at least this series, when they get past it, maybe it changes a little bit. But for this one, I don't think it'll affect them too much.
Yeah, going to be the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets is Charles Lee. We're hanging out with Claudia Bellafato here on the Progressive Guest Line. Check her out 8 to 10 Eastern Time weekdays on Gojo and Golic here on the DraftKings Network. Well, Claudia, how about tonight's game in Oklahoma City? The Mavericks facing an 0-1 deficit. OKC looked terrific, especially in the second half of game number one. Well, they're now laying 5, total 218. What do you make of Luka Doncic in this matchup? Because everyone's talking about how Lu Dort is making him work. Do you think that happens again tonight?
Yeah, it pains me, especially because I am a Luka stan. I've been saying with this MVP race that he deserves to be at the very top. 4 votes is criminal when you saw what he was able to do if we're talking stats. However, I do lean under on his point total, 30 and at the hook. You talked about the defense, which does play into this because OKC has been absolutely electric. No team has gotten over 95 points, which is also why I lean under on this Mavs team total. But the issue with Luka is we already know that, you know, cardio is not really his thing. He's not the most super in shape guy. So when you do have a knee injury specifically, that's going to slow you down. That's going to hurt you. And the worst part is he's been vocal about it. That's when you know it's really hurting and ailing a player. And that's the biggest concern for me. This Dallas team, I'm sure Dallas fans were very excited when they saw that Kyrie was coming. They got excited when Kyrie actually showed up in the postseason. He's been huge. But the team just relies way too much on them. Combined, they're scoring 52% of the team's points in the postseason. So when one of them falls off, which we saw with Kyrie, didn't show up much, you know, in the second half of the regular season. Now in the postseason, if Luka's not showing up, they're going to really hurt. So if you're looking for a play, I would look under on Luka, lean under on Luka, under on this team total, 106 in the hook. They're just not winning anywhere, not in the paint. They're being out-rebounded, and they're not making their shots.
So the Bruins had the great win and advanced to go play the Florida Panthers, and they had this huge letdown, lose 6-1. Is there anything you like in this series in terms of betting the Bruins? Because you're in the city of champions, essentially. The Bruins are good. You know, the Celtics are on fire. So is there anything you like in this hockey area that Femi can run down to the book and play? Because he's desperate to play something today.
The ebbs and flows of hockey, baby. I love it. Everybody just got so worked up about that game one when the Bruins won 5-1. And I said, everybody settle down because we know how this works. There's going to be a swing. And that's exactly what we saw. The Achilles heel for the heel, I should say, for the Bruins is when they just don't get shots on net. That has been the reason that they don't win games. They have the talent, they have the depth, they definitely have the goaltending, but goaltending can only go so far if you're not putting shots on puck. Obviously, they're not going to go in. Bobrovsky, as we saw last season, there are some holes to his game. They need to expose that. So I would say wherever you can get the Bruins, whether it is pregame at plus money, in-game, I like to bet this team a lot too. Maybe not so much in that last game because they didn't look great from the start, specifically with the volume of shots on net. But say we go into this game 3 and the shots are there, they're just not necessarily going in so far. They go behind one, you get them at plus money. I think there's great value there. I would just say with this team, you can get them at plus 950 right now. Last time I checked the DraftKings odds, that's a good flyer. A little bit of sprinkle, a little beer money play. The team has what it needs to get there, especially in the goalie tandem. If it's not Sway, it's Ullmark. As we saw, they took out Sway in that last game. And everybody's sort of mad about Montgomery's choice to do that. I don't think that's terrible. Give them a breather. They didn't look good in that game. Make them fresh for game 3.
Well, I think the real question here, Claudia, is that what are people in Boston saying about the Tkachuk and Pasternak fight last night? I mean, that was something for the ages. You don't see that in the postseason too often.
Oh, The best, too, you saw the video, was actually kind of controversial because Pasta went over to Montgomery, and it looked like he was saying, can I go? And then he goes, drops the gloves. Unfortunately, I think we need him to get some lessons from Marchand or, you know, some of the old guys of the past who are known as fighters, because he's clearly not. Most people probably watched that and said, just stick to scoring because you're not a great fighter, which is fine. So Kachuk definitely won that. And then after the game, they asked Montgomery, and of course he said, no, I didn't say that. But it was cool to hear both head coaches watch and say, I'm fine with that. You know, these guys have so much passion. These two teams don't love each other, so it's good to sort of see them bring this in. I just wish Pasta got, like, at least two hooks landed. Yeah. But, that was kind of bad.
All right, everybody loves the Patriots draft. Where are you on the draft, and do you think they can go on their over total this year in terms of wins? With Brissett, we think he's going to be the starter. You would play that, and obviously Drake May would redshirt. But what's your overall view of this of the Patriots and as it relates to their win total?
Well, Michael, if you remember last year, I said under. That was easy for me, and we saw that go way down during the season. Four in the hook, juice crazy to the over. I don't really want to drink the juice. If you shop around, you can find a better price at five in the hook at plus money. They have to be better. I don't see how they could not be better. When it comes to this new regime, too, I don't understand the comparisons with Mac Jones and Drake May. And Michael, I'll be joining you Monday. We can really dive into this. But this new regime did what everybody wanted them to, right? They got the quarterback. They got a receiver. May not be number one. At least he wasn't at Washington. But we'll see what happens with this fit. And you got some protection. Still don't really have that left tackle, which is an issue. But I think in terms of the draft, they did the right things. They checked off the boxes. It's just a matter of how it all comes together. Don't love what they did in the offseason in terms of going out to get guys like Calvin Ridley, who maybe it sounds like he just didn't want to be there. So in terms of the draft itself, I think they did the right thing. I do lean over. I think they get five or more. The AFC East is not as good as it was last year. So it's going to be interesting to watch this team. It's a game-to-game, week-to-week for me for sure, but I do see five or more for them.
Yeah, 4.5. I mean, when's the last time the Patriots win total was that low there? For what it's worth, Jerod Mayo right now is 22-1 to be coach of the year. If they are ever to make the playoffs or do something like that, Jerod Mayo would probably be up there for the coach of the year candidates. Claudia mentioned it. She will be hosting the Lombardi Line with Michael on Monday. So the two of you, I'm sure, will get more time to talk some more New England Patriots discussion and what the Patriots offseason will look like as we approach the schedule release next week. But Claudia, we thank you for the time. Once again, we encourage everybody to check out Gojo and Golic 8-10 Eastern time here on the DraftKings Network. Until then, Claudia, be well. Go Celtics, go Bruins, and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Claudia.
See you guys.
Awesome stuff there from Claudia Bellafato joining us on the Progressive Guest
Line. You're taking off Monday, I see, Femi. I see you're taking off Monday. Where are you headed?
I'm not going anywhere. We're shuffling on Monday, buddy. I'm not in control of personnel decisions around here. Mike Somers joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, you got to jump on this deal. We're offering it our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, now just $199. All you have to do is sign up today, and we'll give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code Lombardi. You're going to gain all the best bets, the daily betting systems, the betting splits, the 19 hours of live programming, everything that VSiN has to offer. You'll get it with the subscription. Once again, VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code Lombardi. That's important. Use promo code Lombardi to unlock the deal. VSiN, VSIN.com/subscribe.
Do you disagree with these takes?
No way.
No way.
Or do you approve?
Oh, no doubts. No doubts. No doubt my mind.
No diggity, no doubt.
It's time to ask Michael Lombardi, no way or no doubt.
All right, let's play a little no way or no doubt here on the Lombardi Line. And we'll start off with the roast of Tom Brady over this past weekend and all the dignitaries that were in attendance, two of them being Bill Belichick and owner Robert Kraft. Well, Michael, do you believe that the beef between Belichick and Kraft has been squashed? Because we saw them toast and take a shot together at the roast.
Well, I mean, it's for those are like pictures for PR standpoint. I mean, you don't put a 10-part documentary and dismiss the winningest coach in NFL history and give him zero credit for him and think that he's going to come up there and say, oh, how are you doing, Robert? How's things? You know, I mean, everything he's done since he's left the building, they've tried to destroy him from, you know, take his signs down, defuse the organization. How would you feel? I mean, you know, instead of me answering the question, you know, people should ask themselves the question. Let's say you spent 24 years at one place. You won 6 Super Bowls. You went to 8. You increased the value of the franchise from, you know, let's say $1 billion to $6 billion, okay? You know, you had something to do with that. You know, you put the team on the map. You became, you created a way. And then the day you walked out, you started getting bad-mouthed and everything went against you, including a book. I mean, how would you feel? I know we live in a world of forgiveness, Femi. But it's a little bit early to forgive, right? It's a little bit early to use our Christian faith and focus on forgiveness. So I'm not buying that at all. This is going to last for a while. And, you know, I thought what Kraft did was trying to cover up when he came out and said, this is the greatest coach. You know, saying it at the roast and doing what you did to him in the 10-part documentary, which you claimed you had nothing to do with, is a little bit of disingenuous.
Yeah, it rings hollow. And former New England Patriots player Julian Edelman on his podcast Games with Names, here's what he had to say about how what the feeling was like in the room there at the roast this past weekend.
Tension in that room, though.
It was real.
Good cut.
It was very real. It was very real.
I was so awkward. I was like, I was watching Coach, and I tried to give Coach a heads up. I'm like, I see Kraft walk in. I'm like, yo, Coach. You know, like, you know, this locker room, like 5-0, 5-0. You know, like, he did. Of course, he didn't see it,
right?
And right. He came in, and I was like, "Oh, this could be some fireworks." I just walked away.
I mean, it kind of tells you what you laid out there. It's like, yeah, they can kind of do all this stuff for PR, but everybody knows what's really how they really feel about each other.
I mean, how would you feel, right? How would put yourself in Belichick's shoes? You've dedicated 24 years of your life for that cause. And, you know, and then all of a sudden you think just him standing up there saying, this is the greatest coach and doing a talk. Come on. Every action, there's a reason for those actions. And, you know, and they've done nothing but smear his legacy, whether he called Arthur Blank or not. Like, I don't know if that's actually true. It may be true, but I think the incompetence of Super Bowl winning general manager Terry Fontenot will cover up all of those sins anyway. He probably didn't need to make that call.
Yeah, that was courtesy of the Games with Names podcast with Julian Edelman. All right, let's move it along to your favorite team, the Philadelphia 76ers. They should add a superstar to the roster this offseason. No way or no doubt?
No doubt they should. No doubt they should. Can he not be 36 years and older? Can he not be a former Houston Rocket? Can he not be a guy that doesn't work hard? Can he not be a guy that can't play all the games? Can he not be a guy that is going to acquiesce to Embiid? I mean, yeah, but who's that guy? I mean, you know, who is that guy? I loved Jimmy Butler 2 years ago. I clearly said to all my – I would assign him over Harris. But what I was worried about with Jimmy Butler is what's come true is I didn't know how many years he had left. He wanted that 5 years, right? I was worried that body wasn't going to hold up.
Yeah. No, Jimmy Butler, I don't know if you want to go down that path this year. Paul George is a name that's been bandied about, also 34 years old. But for the Philadelphia 76ers
– Let me ask you this, Femi. Let me ask you a no way or no doubt. Mm-hmm. If you're Paul George and one of your best friends is James Harden – and Kawhi Leonard, are you going to trust Daryl Morey in a contract?
No way. Not a chance.
No way or no doubt, Femi.
No way. Not a chance.
So that's a no way.
Yeah. Yeah.
No so then way. Scratch the Paul George.
Yeah. Yeah. And then James Harden, I mean, it's been an ugly divorce with James Harden and Daryl Morey, which was documented before the season started. All right, let's go back to the football. Chad Johnson on his podcast, The Nightcap, said, quote, remember I told you, Odell, Tyreek, and Jalen Waddle will all have 1,000 receiving yards. So, Michael, the Miami Dolphins could have 3 1,000-yard receivers this season, no way or no doubt.
No way. I mean, can we stop this nonsense with Odell, please? Can we stop it? I mean, like, seriously, I know Chad and him are buddies, but I mean, why? See, to me, this is where there's such a disconnect between the reality of players and analysts. Like, that's just, you're playing for the player. Like, at some point, analyze the game. At some point, analyze the career. It's what, it goes back to, see what Barkley said. Like, you're friends with them, right? You're, be honest. Like, there's no way. The question is, could he stay healthy? No. Did he watch him last year? I mean, it's really, it's unbelievable. But unfortunately, because the fans think that ex-players played, they know. They really don't know about player. No next player spent time up in the player acquisition departments or evaluating talent. They never did that.
Yeah, and it's like, how could you when you're focused on your own career to then also see the big picture? But apparently yeah. it's not their job to do that. But now they comment on that whole thing. Oh, by the way, the last time a team had 3 1,000-yard receivers, 2008 Arizona Cardinals, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, and Steve Breston. Only 5 times has it been done in NFL history, but it hasn't been done since the 2008 Cardinals that went and lost the Super Bowl to the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, moving along here. Austin Rivers, NBA analyst over at ESPN, was on the Pat McAfee show and said that 30 NBA players could play in the NFL, but 30 NFL players could not play in the NBA. So more NBA players could play in the NFL than NFL players in the NBA, no way or no doubt.
Well, I think to me, it's really, again, has Austin Rivers spent any time in player personnel? One of the things that I've always said, and I've studied the NBA, I love watching the players, and I think they're incredible. Like, you know, could some of those guys transition? Could Barkley have been a great tight end? Absolutely, right? Could he have been a great tight end? No doubt. And there's so much. Michael Jordan could have done anything. And, you know, we're seeing this in the league now. But in the NBA, you can be a vertical player. You can be a straight line, have straight line speed, have straight line acceleration. In the NFL, you can't live like that, right? You know, Anthony Edwards has everything you want in a great athlete. But there also is something called toughness. It's something called toughness. And so to play in the NFL, you got to have unique toughness. And as Barkley would tell you, I wanted nothing to do with that because it's a different kind of toughness than it is in the NBA. So athletically, I'm not challenging how great those guys are, just like in the NFL. I'm not going to challenge. I mean, Tyreek Hill, you don't think he can go over if he could dribble basketball? Who's keeping up with him? Who's running him down?
He can dunk a basketball, you know? I've seen.
I mean, like some of the tight ends in our league. Yeah, so each sport requires a different specialty. And you better understand both sports on what it requires to play in the NFL and play there. That's why Bob Myers must understand it because he's coming from basketball into the NFL.
Final one here. We'll see if we can squeeze another one in. But NFL draft grades are a reliable resource for off-season betting prep. Oh, no God. Way or no doubt.
I mean, when Elliot put that in, there's no way. I mean, we just went through, you and I on the GM shuffle, we just went through the 21-20 grades. The Bears got an A+. From an analytical site, Pro Football Focus, they got an A+. They have one player remaining from that draft. They got an A+ on that day. They won 10 games or 11 games with the player that got in the A+. They're irrelevant, and they should be irrelevant because it takes 3 years to figure it out.
Yeah, it's draft grades. Just throw them in the trash can, as far as I'm concerned. For your offseason,
it's an exercise in futility. Yeah. It's a click game.
Yeah,
and it's basically the teacher. It's the student grading the teacher because if you don't follow Mel's board, you're not getting a good grade.
Exactly. It's circular.
So that
reasoning.
Means Mel's right.
It's all circular reasoning. Here's what they should do. They didn't do it. All right, F. They're like, oh, what? Who are you? That's how things work with those draft kids. But they make for great content, so I understand why they keep pumping them out. All right, Mike Palm, the VP of operations here at Serco, joins us in studio next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
pressing?
Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Now my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
Absolutely love it. Love what our crew put together there. This is the first time I've seen it here as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line, as we do every single Thursday. Final segment of the show, Palms Pressing 3. Mike Palm, please take it away.
All right, speaking of win totals, Michael, there is a lot of optimism, not only in Chicago, but at the betting windows around the country about the Chicago Bears following their draft, coupled on top of how they played the last half of the year. It's currently set at 8.5, Michael, juiced heavily to the over. The Bears win totals higher than the Chargers when you consider the juice. Michael, are the Bears going to win at least 9 games this year, and are they a playoff team?
I think you got to take a step back here to answer your question properly. And I think you have to understand Chicago. And you have to go back to when we were all first reunited here at the network, and Mitchell Trubisky was a candidate for MVP. And we sat in the studio and we were laughing at it. But the money was pouring in. And it was Chicago money. And the Bears fans are passionate. They're loyal, and they're delusional, and they'll bet even what they can't see. And so they bet Trubisky and ran that number up. Because remember, the book doesn't think that the Bears are going to win 9 games. The book thinks the book sets the number because that's what the public thinks, right? And so that's where the juice is. And we know the public of Chicago is a little bit going to put their money all the time where their beliefs are. And so then we get another candidate. Justin Fields enters our world. And now his MVP odds are through the roof and moving numbers. Now with some help by Danny O on the worldwide leader to fuel their fire, which is all they need is one match and they're going to take off. Okay, so that was another St. Jude's play, which I was violently against playing and got ridiculed and destroyed. Okay, so now here we are with Caleb Williams. And this is the first one that makes sense that he could be rookie of the year. But here's what I would say in caution. I think the North is really good. I think Green Bay is really good. Do you believe the Bears offensive line is good enough? If you do, if you think they have a left tackle, if you think they have a right tackle, I know it's Darnell Wright, who was a first round pick last year. If you think they're really good up front, and if you think that they can survive in 11 personnel, out of that formation in the Midwest with the cold and rain, then go ahead. But they gotta be able to stay healthy. I would lean under here. I would never go over because I think you're buying into Bears enthusiasm. And I say this respectfully to the Bear fans. I love their passion. I love their loyalty. I don't like their delusionalness.
I agree with that. I mean, for the expectation for a rookie quarterback to win 9 games, that's not saying that he can't do it, but that's the expectation when you bet over an 8.5. Not doing it. Not doing it.
I'm monitoring to see how much of a plus I could get on this under 8.5. Right? It was a plus on under 7.5 last year, and I'm wondering how much of a plus I can get under 8.5. Okay, Michael, second question. On Monday, former Buffalo Bills and head coach and longtime Bronco defensive coordinator Joe Collier passed away. Collier was the architect of the Orange Crush defense of the 1970s and 80s in Denver. Michael, how will history remember Collier, and where will he rank among the all-time great defensive coordinators?
No, that's a great question, Mike. I'm glad you remembered him. Joe Collier was outstanding. You know, he was ahead of his time, and I think we came from an era back then where defensive coaches were really elite. And not only were they elite in terms of scheme and usage of players, I mean, Carl Mecklenburg's a 12th round pick, right? And he utilized his skill set, and he was able to kind of cover up a lot of the sins of their team, which ultimately got exposed when they played in the Super Bowl. But Joe is a tremendous defensive coordinator, much like Richie Pettibone was a tremendous defensive coordinator with Washington. And there was an era in the 80s where we had a lot of these guys that were great. Buddy Ryan, you know, in Chicago. Bud Carson invented the cover two defense when he was at Pittsburgh, and then went on to have, you know, achieve success, was actually a head coach of the Browns. So, yeah, I think anytime you can honor these guys, unfortunately, we have too many people that get in the way of, you know, the contributor column for the Hall of Fame gets cloudy because the owners want to put their toe in the water. And then also this puts them in the head coaching vat, where now you've got Mike Holmgren watching on the outside. You've got Mike Shanahan watching on the outside. You can't get Buddy Parker in the Hall of Fame. Meanwhile, Robert Kraft's doing documentaries to get himself in the Hall of Fame, which he belongs in the Hall of Fame, but not in the coaching category. So he belongs in there for hiring Belichick, even though Belichick didn't work for 23 of the 24 years there in New England. We understand that. But he does deserve that honor. I think, to me, Collier will always be remembered as innovative. And I think where he was so good was utilization of personnel and moving people around in an era where people weren't moving them.
I'm not to step on the pressing three here, but it's interesting that in the 80s and that time we saw the young defensive minds and now it's all young offensive minds. I mean, Mike McDonald, the Seahawks head coach, is almost like a unicorn. You see a young defensive mind that people kind of herald it, but a little bit. It's interesting.
But this is always the trend, Femi, because everybody thinks you win games with offense. This is always the trend. And it wasn't until 2014 when New England said, look, you know, we either fix what we do defensively or we're not going to win, because we went from 2006 to 13 without winning any Super Bowls. And then from 14 to 19, because they improved their defense, they did. And I think that's been the key. Same thing with the Kansas City Chiefs. They made this decision when they traded Tyreek Hill. Now, no one's paying attention to it. Just me, you, and Mike Palm and other people. Clearly, Ryan Poles is, and he's drafting receivers. He's playing 7-on-7, you know, and he feels like I got enough defensive players. Well, you really don't.
Question three, Michael. Interesting news out of Canada this morning, I thought. Chad Kelly, many will remember, quarterback at Mississippi, had drafted by the Broncos, ran into problems there with some criminal behavior, is the reigning MVP of the Canadian Football League. A former strength and conditioning employee with the Argonauts filed a lawsuit against Kelly and the team for sexual harassment, unwanted advances by him, and then threats after they weren't met. She was subsequently fired, so her lawsuit also includes wrongful termination. The CFL commissioned a third party to do an investigation. They had a two-month investigation. They issued an 87-page report today and suspended the reigning NFL, the reigning CFL MVP for 9 games. A minimum of 9 games, and that's conditioned upon him successfully completing counseling on the issue. A two-part question here, Michael. One is, could something like this happen in the NFL or not based on the union's agreement? And two, what does this say as a sign of bad actors and trying to take bad actors and put them in places and make them good actors?
Yeah, well, I mean, what it says is Kelly has enough ability to be a good player. He doesn't have the character to be a good player, which affected him here and in the States in America, you know. And I think this certainly could happen in the NFL, but I think the NFL has safeguards to prevent this, right? And as we start to get more women coaches involved, which we should, we're going to have more safeguards in these environments. And I think it's really critical for the team to go through those educational processes to understand all this. And they do. And, you know, part of orientation is to make sure that the players understand all this. But look, I think what's very clear is you can't win any title without high-level character players. You have to have character on your team. And the characters are no really are going to help you. Character helps you. And I think for Kelly's career, this has been the deterrent for why he couldn't take the giant step, why he didn't get drafted, why he's been cut. Because he can't move himself from an amateur, which doesn't take things seriously, to a professional, which is becomes his life. And a lot of players don't. I think Zach Wilson's an example of that. You know, can't move from the amateur status to the professional status. And until you do that, until you grow up and handle it, nothing else matters.
Yeah. At some point in the NFL, you're going to meet adversity. And I guess it's how you handle that stuff is it determines who the good players are versus the players that end up washing out of the league. Anything else that you have on your mind here?
No, that was it.
Nothing else? No Seahawks future that you're
great
putting
work,
in there?
Mike.
Thank you. That's a lot of pressure with Elliot for these questions, you know. So I have to dig deep some.
Why are you throwing our guy under the bus here? He's behind the glass. He can't respond or defend himself.
Elliot has a standard. No, Mike Palm's right. Elliot's doing his job. He has a standard of excellence we all have to meet.
Make sure you meet those deadlines.
I accept it.
All right. Well, for our producer, Elliot, both behind the glass and the entire crew, for Mike Palm, for Michael Lombardi, I'm Ben Bepe saying so long. The Handle's coming up next at the top of the hour here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.